Thank you all so very, very much. Thank you so much. All those singing, Mami Odinde. My response is, too. Thank you. Thank you again and again. Thank you so much. Our respected party leader and flag bearer, Your Excellency John Dramani Mahama, the next president of our beloved republic. Your Excellency Lordina Mahama, members of the diplomatic hall, Nime Name, Nananom, Togbio, Mamao, our national chairman, the general secretary, the entire leadership, from the national through the regional constituency to the wards and branches, to our devoted, hardworking, and teaming supporters and sympathizers, many who have traveled from across the country, to you all I extend my deep appreciation for endorsing my nomination and for accepting me again. To my family, colleagues and friends, all those who have sent me volumes of moving letters and voice and written notes and songs and prayers of support since my nomination, please accept my undying gratitude. My plea is for all of us, bound by a shared vision to see our country take a turn for the better, towards working, realizing that vision. I know you can, and I know you will. Your Excellency Ayebida, President Mahama, please allow me to address you directly. As I stated in my brief acceptance note on March 7th, 2024, by renominating me, you have demonstrated your remarkable consistency and unwavering commitment to inclusivity and innovation. I have heard you share with me, no, with the public, as you have done tonight, your rationale for choosing me again. I find this very, very touching. Thank you very much. As the Gonjas express it with meaning, Ansan Kushim. I see your choice as an I see your choice as an affirmation of your belief in the capabilities of the Ghanaian woman. I will repay your abiding confidence with loyalty, with understanding, and a devotion to duty. My output going forward, by the grace of God, will continue to demonstrate what the world knows already, that women are also capable of high achievements, that we do so with that reservoir of strength, determination, and mental acuity that only those who are noble and far-sighted like you can comprehend and contend with. I will share in our collective successes and share responsibility for our setbacks, if any, And at the time of reckoning, Your Excellency John Dramani Mahama, I will not, in the advancement of self-serving ambition, declare to the whole world that I was only the driver's mate. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, before I go on to other important matters, please let me state my understanding of where we are as a country, as a nation, and the implications of what lay ahead. The election ahead is not so much about Ghana making history, although that is important. It is not so much about returning a competent president back to power. It is not even about producing the first woman vice president. Historical and exciting though these are, it is not only about bringing the NDC back to power, although that is indispensable in our current circumstances. The elections ahead and winning them is about winning elections for a purpose. The purpose goes beyond those enumerated above. The purpose is the opportunity to heal our country again. About the opportunity to pull Ghana back from the precipice of destruction, of normalizing corruption, of incomprehensive greed, from deep despair. The election ahead and winning it for our party is about hard work and abiding sacrifice. It is to embrace everyone in building a Ghana that functions again. It is to work towards a Ghana where citizens have confidence and hope and are determined to regain their independence of thought and of agenda. We must work towards a Ghana that at the very least can feed itself. We know we can. We must work towards a Ghana where the law truly works, where there is shared prosperity, where democracy has not become a fluke, where people are not abused, and where the basic necessities of life are not denied the majority. It is a chance to work hard towards building a country where citizens do not feel disrespected or intimidated or ignored because of the way they vote or the language they speak. The victory we seek as a party is to invite everyone to the onerous task of rebuilding a broken Ghana, of restoring hope in a manner that the is capable of, and evidenced by its history and achievements, especially the recent ones under His Excellency John Dramani Mahama. My brothers and sisters, we are not in ordinary times. This is not news. Some of us have been around for a while and have experienced the to and fro of politics in Ghana. But never have we experienced the levels of greed, unbridled arrogance, unrestrained impunity, sheer dishonesty, barefaced hypocrisy, incompassion, as displayed by this incumbent government over the past 6 years. Mananom, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, the task ahead is formidable, much more than it was 4 years ago. When people ask me, why are you doing this? Let me explain. I remain inspired by the fact that as a people, we have faced terrible situations before. Check our history. Please don't begin with the Fourth Republic or the struggle for independence, although these are also important milestones. Go hundreds of years back. In those hard times, our forefathers and our foremothers too did not throw up their arms in despair. They fought back. They resisted. They sacrificed. They persevered. They brought back hope when there was none. They picked up the pieces of a broken people and carefully and strategically sold them back. And they left for us a legacy of selflessness, of true patriotism and pride. It is our responsibility today to leave something better for the next generations. Giving up is not an option. We must all soldier on. Across the political divide, across social and professional groupings, among the youth, you hear complaints and stories concerning state capture, where this government has chosen to use its power not in the broader interests of all Ghanaians, but to favor a small clique. What is that? John and I have agreed that whoever has participated in the plunder of the state must be held accountable. And, my friends, this is not a threat. It is a promise. It is a promise which is premised on the wishes of our citizens across the political divide, and it is hinged on the principle of accountability. Let us face the facts. Today, what do we hear? It's the promotion of ethnocentric elitism, which is masquerading as intellectualism. Ladies and gentlemen, it is elitism masquerading as intellectualism. It is weakness strutting as courage, and crony capitalism masked as development in freedom. It is shameless hypocrisy pretending to be objective. This will never move our country forward. Rather, the most significant achievement of all these has been a country in near insolvency. Its natural resources such as water, land, and even the environment in rebellion. A people harassed and intimidated into numbness, and as some will say cynically, some of us also bribed into silence. I envisage a report on the administration of His Excellency John Dramani Mahama on the ticket of the NDC in his reign 2013 to early 2017. And I bet that the report will have no reference to the following: a multi-million dugout I don't know about you, but the image I get looking at that hole is a trench in utter shock that anyone could believe it was intended as a thanksgiving gift to the Almighty, invisible, God only wise. You will not find in his record a free SHS at war. The battle fought on the grounds of food, shelter, space, even calendar, teaching and learning materials, or those who spend a couple of weeks in school and many months at home just idling by. You will not find past questions instead of textbooks and science equipment. You will not find an atmosphere that suppresses learning. You will not find free water and electricity to a few that are stand out to be most expensive for everyone. Such a report will not find COVID money shared for partisan political campaign purposes. And all of this done when people were dying and they needed just a little bit of help. You will not find in a stem an Ejapa-like manifesto. And you will not find him as president clearing malfeasance and writing love letters to prejudice a bad situation. You will not find that unemployment jumped from 8% to 14%, and actually check the figures, check the actual figures, go beyond the percentages. And you will not find a debt to GDP that has gone awry, or a city that refuses to be tamed. Under his tenure, you will not find weak efforts to hide the truth of doomsday. The reports will not include scandals surrounding the PDS, Australian visa, Kelvin JVG, most contaminated fuel, excavations, and Aboboya tricycles that can fly faster than Nkonfem. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, you will not find unfulfilled promises of one village, one dam, $1 million per constituency per year, 350 secondary schools from scratch, and too many betrayals and too many instances of disrespect. You will not find in his time a tracker too embarrassed and gone into hiding because it is too afraid to expose its plagiarized content. In truth, such an investigation of his term would not reveal over 100 scandals and still counting. What will the report say about the NDC under John Dramani Mahama? After exhausting the list of clinics, hospitals, medical centers, expansion of existing universities, polytechnics, 10 technical universities, brand new universities, focus on current and projected national needs. You will find the Mahama schools, popularly called E-blocks, and you will find these constructed from scratch. You will find that there was a debilitating shift system. And that it was painstakingly and effectively abolished. You will find that the ratio of textbooks at the primary level moved from 1 book to 3 children to 4 books per child. This is a leader you can trust. This is a leader who has the love of the country at heart. The report will highlight new roads, harbors, railway lines, not what we've seen of late, Ayalolo buses, you will find the lack of intimidation of opposing voices. You will find serious investment and practice to enable a digitized economy and society. The report will go on to point at housing projects, including the famous Saglami housing complex, and even those that somebody has happily raised to make room for a presumed presumed cathedral. You will find that journalists were not hounded into exile. Should I add more? Okay. The report will find that once upon some years ago, the blame for power outages was placed at the doorstep of the president and the minister for energy. The report will find a president who solved the energy crisis that he inherited, and a minister who did resign on principle. The report will tell of a timetable for load shedding, provided to respect the dignity of citizens and acknowledge their right to plan, and also to learn the truth about our situation with energy. The report will contrast the existing arrogance in leadership with that of the respectful JDM, who builds the children and youth by offering lasting skills, quality education, serious adaptable training, who opens up the economy to create more space for jobs and self-actualization. The report will highlight a JDM who does not line up desperate young people in the heat of the tropical sun to march and salute him as head of state for jobs that have no head, they have no tail, they have no future. The report will explain the foundations of the principles of the policies of the NDC, that they will see that the NDC strives and thrives on consensus building from observation, study, analysis, vigorous debates that tolerate all views, to an agreement on the options at hand, and end with well thought out implementation plans. The benefits of such approach inure to everyone. They inure to nation, they inure to community, they inure to individual, in that order. The report will highlight, going forward, the critical processes that will lead to innovations and flexibilities of the brave, timely, intentional intervention of a 24-hour economy as proposed by H.E. Mahama after consulting widely with stakeholders and citizens across the country, because he respects everyone. I am not surprised at all that many labor groups, businesses and individuals have embraced the concept. It is a vision anchored on the firm belief that with the right policies and incentives in place, we can inspire a new generation of enterprises to adopt a multi-shift work system and wider participation in the economy, thereby ushering us all into a new and golden era of Ghanaian industry. Obiara baby. And by the time the policy is in full flight, a couple of years down the road, we should not be surprised to see how, from the vegetable seller to the miner, from the smallest hamlet to the crowded cities, from the farmer to the fisherfolk, from the young couple to the single parent, everyone will come and see and apply the benefits of the 24-hour economy for national group and individual advancement. please come join us in our hall meetings, in our town hall meetings, and other programs to learn more about this incredibly effective strategy. Do not fall victim to those who have realized that having failed in sloganeering and packaging, that they have exhausted all their strategies and therefore resort to deception and destruction. We are particularly pleased to see, as evidence in credible polls, that this visionary policy has caught on and resonated with the public, especially with our young people. Where are the youth? Are they here? The policy is for you, so please come and learn more about it. I know for a fact that the nation builder, John Mahama, who is not an economist, will deliver this economic model. He thinks through what he does. He thinks through what he says. He considers advice. He is confident enough to amend his views when confronted by working alternatives. He does not rush with decisions that have serious effects on the lives of others. John Mahama does not shoot from the hip. A 24-hour economy. A 24-hour economy will demand that we pay special attention to skills training in Sanwi Juma. And that is why we are serious about continuing with the critical reforms and the improvements we made under his tenure in our technical and vocational training institutions to ensure that we equip our youth with the technical skills necessary for a thriving economy. In Sanwi Juma, Ejuma also means equipping our youth with tech skills so that they are ready to participate in our economy and in the global remote economy. So, as we mentioned several times, during the 2020 campaign, we intend to implement the 1 million coders program, which sets an ambitious but attainable goal to train over 1 million of our youth in coding, data science, and other tech fields. The potential for this pool of young people to contribute to Ghana's GDP is enormous, and inshallah, it shall happen. Definitely, another important area, and why this position is important, and why the NDC has prioritized it. We will pay special attention to issues and challenges faced by women in all walks of life. Oh, the women are not happy. And the men too. This is part of the reason we propose extended maternity leave, in line with one of HE of His Excellency President Mahama's 2020 election promises, and in the 2024 manifesto, the flexibility offered within the context of a 24-hour economy must hold special attention for women, for obvious reasons. Maybe we should meet and have a long discussion on that one. Women entrepreneurs must have access to capital for the entire sector to boost their businesses. And that is why we will actively pursue the establishment of a women's development bank. To primarily nurture and grow women-owned, women-led businesses. Women must become millionaires too, shouldn't we? We must become millionaires through hard work, as our men do. We do not need hands out. We need hands up. Women of Ghana are capable of managing that bank 100%. The bank must take care of small-scale businesses or tiny-scale businesses to give them credit. And I'm talking about those who are hawking or people whose businesses do not depend on huge capital. I envisage this board made up of trading associations and cooperatives, and all these fully represented and making serious decisions and being accountable to its members. And I into me. Hello, Wanya. And the world knows what we do with our resources when women prosper. We hardly leave our children behind. We hardly leave the wider families, including the men, behind. There is better stability at home. There's better peace at home. Most will demand less shop money, so the dads should clap for us. And you know that all these add up to make a nation at peace with itself. Surely this is what Kwejiri Agri must have observed when he made his famous statement about the far-reaching effects of the education of women. Thank you very, very much. And distinguished ladies and gentlemen, if anyone has any doubt, just remember a lady called Esther Oklu. What brilliance, what innovation, what display of entrepreneurship. She showed the way. Let's revive that dream and hope and actions of our hero and heroine entrepreneurs as models. Let's stop killing their dreams because some of us are simply too lazy, too envious, too lacking in original ideas, or have capabilities that are too low to match their results. How do we preach entrepreneurship, encourage a study, and propose this practice, and then turn around to make waste of the efforts of successful entrepreneurs? If you decide you don't like the owner, think of the worker who may be a member of your community, your political party, or even your church member. How about him? We must move to the level of encouragement, appreciation, and support of those who participate in the private sector, no matter what. Their efforts at nation building trickle down to all groups. We will also undertake the modernization of our markets, which remain special and dominant places for women in the economy. Market women deserve the benefits of a clean, modernized marketplace. Our efforts so far bear witness. All I plead is that our efforts must not end with beautiful Kejetia or attractive Kotokraba and allied markets. My fellow Ghanaians, please, let us just be mindful and show some respect to our citizens. So the lights are not stable. And because somebody has not told us that it is doomso, it means there is no doomso. So the Electoral Commission is struggling to defend its credibility. And until the Commission tells us that the missing equipment mean nothing, everyone should believe that there are no issues to worry about. How did disrespect get so high? Actions that impoverish and disenfranchised do not necessarily translate into feeble-mindedness in people who are angry, in people who are hungry, and in people who are oppressed. On the contrary, again, check the details in our history. Electoral Commission, I address you directly. It is in the national interest and in your own interest to make transparent what has been and is going on in your establishment. The truth will not be suppressed. You cannot be so independent as to disregard the people who validate your existence. It does not happen anywhere. Easy. A word to the wise is in Asin North. Administration has all but given up. Whereas they will not consult, they will not engage, they will not review. Womu Ethiopia, Womu be konusa, amanfonsoni wombe pimsusa. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, fellow Ghanaians, Ghana requires a different environment, and urgently so. The Ghanaian voter is presented again with the experienced, humble, focused, and truthful John Mahama, who has always consulted out of respect and out of the conviction that knowledge does not reside in the head of any one person. The condescending see this, unfortunately, as a sign of not having original ideas. The unpretentious see it as a sign of understanding the foundations of democracy, which is consensus building. I see it as a sign of strength, and I feel privileged to work so closely with JDM. Consensus building should be the fulcrum of any progressive, positive project. It has already been demonstrated to us how without such a foundation, the Ghana without aid has turned out to be the Ghana without compass. We have a choice now, come December 7th, and let us make the right choice. Corruption is too rampant in many government and non-government institutions. Sadly, those institutions meant to check on corruption have been significantly weakened. We must strengthen the institutions, and we will do just that when the NDC comes to power from January 2025, God willing. It is our duty to ensure that our sources of wealth are not given away to obscure entities or shrouded in opaque deals. We must not arrive at a destination where our national assets and natural resources are treated by some as if they were assets of their own creation, to be willed forever to friends and family. We must be passionate about justice, about the protection of our environment, about protecting our differently able citizens. We must be passionate about institutions that are responsive or are supposed to be responsive to our collective needs. We must be passionate about stamping out corruption. Let no one tell us otherwise, not even those who have so alienated themselves from reality as to be impervious to the truth of women delivering on the floor, of children waiting for a benevolent person to advance much needed vaccines, of children learning in dangerous circumstances, of teachers threatened and parents intimidated from their core functions of caring for their own children, of those who can no longer afford healthy and once affordable meals, euphemistically called face the wall, or Kofi Brookman. We must ensure that our elderly citizens must not picket for their own money. Let no one tell us that the culture of silence has become the norm. And let no one convince us that 8 persons were shot in cold blood because they had gone to exercise their civic responsibility of voting, and that it was all right for a whole member of parliament to call them criminals, or that it is okay for Sal to have no representative in parliament for 4 years. And all of this happening under democracy because somebody whimsically decided hours to elections that they could not vote for a parliamentary candidate. And please don't tell us that the Bank of Ghana, rather than defending itself from accusations of breach of procedure, can choose to label those who raise the matter publicly as hooligans, and that they should have followed procedure. And at the time of accounting to the people, let no one pretend that they have more human rights than those they have consciously disenfranchised and those to whom justice has been shamefully denied. When those otherwise loud voices we assumed spoke for the voiceless have gone into self-imposed silence and even deafness and blindness, with all apologies to our friends, but this is self-imposed, not natural. Should we honestly be surprised at the high levels of cynicism, if not downright mistrust of our leaders? Are we surprised that we have our youth in despair? Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, our country is not sitting pretty. Things have gravely deteriorated. We agree to that. It is high time we came together to do the hard work to build again, regardless how daunting. All is not lost. Our beloved country can rise again. It should not slack. Politics is about building the country. It is not about insults or filthy language. Politics is not about disrespect or fear. It is not about violence or greed. It is not about abuse of power or hypocrisy. Politics is about fighting injustice, hunger. It's about fighting hopelessness, arrogance, selfishness, unbridled greed, corruption, state capture, disrespect of fellow human beings. And in this fight, we don't need private armies, we don't need mercenaries, we don't need destructive ammunition, or in Ghanaian parlance, by heart talk, or wanton ruining of other people's hard earned reputations. That is not politics. What I've enumerated is jealousy hoisted on cowardice. We need the armor of principles, selflessness, sacrifice, and all these rooted firmly in the service of those who give us the power. Politics is to imagine a better community, a better constituency, a better region, a better country. All of us build imagine the Ghana we want together. The time for us to rise as a nation is now. Let us walk and work towards a victorious election that goes beyond political triumph. The triumph must work towards a transformed Ghana, where merit counts, where equity is paramount, where opportunity is not a privilege, where justice is just, where our sons and daughters can aspire to any height without the fetters of bias or limitation. To everyone who has lost hope, our youth as a collective, especially our indispensable constituencies made up of young people, especially the women and the girls, the professionals who are at work, those who remain unemployed, our friends in the media, wherever you are and whatever you do, whether you are driving, you are a food processor, chop bar operator, factory worker, market woman, workers, first, I address you last because you are very, very special to me. And I open my arms to welcome each one of you. Come partner with the NDC. Come let us think together. Come let us work together. Come let us craft and roll out a future of limitless prospects. A future where your dreams and those of your children are attainable, where your voices are constructive, where your lives matter. This moment is for you. No shaking. I thank you for your kind attention. May God bless you. May God bless our homeland, Ghana.